Okay, it's our last Thursday night shiur before the Yom Tov of Shavuos, and we've been learning the last bunch of weeks. We've been building the shiurim off of Pirkei Avos, and we'll do that again tonight. We'll have the opportunity one more time to look at Pirkei Avos and to try to prepare ourselves for the Yom Tov of Shavuos. I want to just take a second to thank. I'm not sure after Shavuos exactly what the schedule is going to be in terms of the shiurim. The Thursday night shiur is usually given live at B'nai Yeshurun, and I want to thank Congregation B'nai Yeshurun for making that happen throughout the year. And while it's sad to not be able to sit with some of you in person, I get to hang out with some of you who never come to this year in person. So it's been a real schus to learn over Zoom, and I hope we'll find ways over the summer to continue to learn together. Like I said, this Shabbos is the sixth parak of Pirkei Avos, and the truth is there really is no sixth parak of Pirkei Avos. There's really five prakim in Pirkei Avos, and Chazal added a sixth perek to Avos, which we call Perek Kinyan Torah. It's made up of brisos, which are written in the style of the Mishnayos of Pirkei Avos. And that's why we find a disclaimer. You open up the sixth perek, this add-on perek to Avos, and there's a disclaimer right at the outset, right at the very beginning. Shanu chachamim b'lashon ha-mishnah, baruch shebacher behem uv'mishnah sam. Shanu Chacham, the rabbi is taught in a way that is similar, stylistically similar to the Mishnah, even though it's not really Mishnayos, it's Brisos, collected Brisos, all about the grandeur and the greatness of Torah. And Baruch Shebachar Behem of Mishnasam. Praiseworthy are those who choose these words. If you listen to these words, you take them seriously, and you absorb the message, so Shkoyach Tiyu. Why was this added to Avos? Why did we add this Perek called Perek Kinyan Torah, Brisos collected from different places, speaking about the greatness of Torah? So we've explained from the beginning that the 6 weeks of Pirkei Avos that we study on Shabbos afternoon, as recorded in the Ramah, in Shulchan Aruch, is our way of preparing ourselves for Kabbalah Satorah. So what better way to prepare for Kabbalah Satorah as we go through Sfiras HaOmer than to learn about Midos, to become humans, to become menschlich, to become refined human beings? And then as we get close to Kabbalah Satorah, as we're about to enter into this last week of preparation for Kabbalah Satorah, we need to remind ourselves, what is Torah Bichlal? Why do we learn Torah? How do we learn Torah? What's so important about learning Torah? And that's what Perek Kinyan Torah is about. That's what the sixth Perek that we learn this Shabbos is all about. So I want to draw, there's so many messages in Kinyan Torah, there's a lot to think about, but I want to pick a small piece from the Brisa that actually gives the name to the entire Perek, Kinyan Torah, acquiring Torah. And here's what the Brisa says in the sixth Perek, what we call, again, the sixth Perek of Avos. Gidola Torah Yoser min HaKohuna u'min HaMalchus. While being a Kohen is great, while being a Melech is awesome, but the Torah is even greater. Greater is Torah than Kohuna and Malchus. SheHaMalchus niknes b'shlosha milos. A king has 30... Milos has 30 privileges, so to speak. Va'kohuna b'asim va'arba. And we know the matnos kohuna, there are 24 gifts that are given to the kohanim. So while a king has 30, you know, madregos, 30 privileges, and kohanim are given 24 gifts, but Torah is the greatest. Because ha-Torah niknes, the Torah is acquired ba'arbayim u'shmona dvarim. Perek kinyan Torah. How do you acquire Torah? 48 prerequisites, so to speak, for acquiring Torah. The number 48, of course, is not random. All the Sfarim are trying to figure out, like, it's so close, right? If it was 49, that'd be great. 49 days of Sfira, 49 Kinyanei Torah. The Sfarim are busy trying to work it out. Everyone is busy with that. How the 48 Kinyanim correspond to the 49 days of Sfira. But we're making a Kinyan on Torah. These are tools to acquire Torah. And as the Chazon Ish once pointed out, the same way that if you're trying to be kona something in dine mamonos, if I'm in a business transaction, so there's a right way to do a business transaction, al pi halacha, depending on what type of thing I'm selling. If it's a piece of land, it's different than if I'm selling a can of Coke. So whatever I'm selling, there's different kinyanim, there's different techniques that we use to acquire. So if I want to acquire Torah, the Chazon Ish said, you have to do a proper legal acquisition. And this list, this lengthy list, which we'll hopefully take some time Shabbos afternoon to look at, as we study this perek, these 48 kinyanim are the ways that we come to acquire Torah. Now that's a very overwhelming thing. 48 conditions for learning Torah. The Sfas Emes gives us a lot of nechama. Because the Sfas Emes says, there are certain things in life that you learn on the job. There are certain jobs you train for, you spend many years, you know, learning about before you actually ever get involved with it. There's certain things you learn by doing it. It's like learning to ride a bike. Or the Sfas Emes said, it's like learning how to swim. Right? You're not going to learn how to swim by sitting on the side of the pool reading a manual about swimming. You're not going to learn how to swim watching a YouTube video about swimming. At some point, you have to jump into the pool and learn how to swim. At some point, you got to get on the bike and be prepared to fall off to learn how to ride. So the Sfas Emes says, on the one hand, these are prerequisites for acquiring Torah. 48 techniques that we need to have in order to even begin to acquire Torah. But these are also things we acquire along the way. I want to focus on one little phrase from that list of 48 kinyanim. And I want to think about it tonight, both generally and in terms of Shruas Tafshin Pei, Haba Alinu Letova. And that is three little words. It's the 25th kinyan of the 48 kinyanim. Some actually divide up. It's interesting. You'll notice, if you look at the list of the kinyanim, I have it here. So if you look at the list, the first 24 all begin with the letter Beis. Right? So the 48 kinyanim, Bitalmud, you need to study. Bishmiyasa ozer, you need to listen carefully. Ba'aricha svasayim, you need to prepare the way that you speak. Bivinas halev, bisichlas halev, bi'ema, bi'yira. The first 24 on the list all start with a bi. The 25th one, which is the one we're speaking about right now, right, switches out of the world of beis and into the world of hay. Hamakir es makomo. That's what we're going to talk about tonight. Hamakir es makomo, recognizing one's place. V'ha misameach b'chelko. V'ha osa siyag lidvarav. Right? We start to transition away from the beis. So, the Medrash Shmuel, there's a sefer called Batei Avos, I think, on Pirkei Avos. They both explain that the first 24 are how you acquire Torah. From 25 to 48 is maintenance. It's how we keep the Torah in our life once we've acquired it. Okay. We're not going to focus so much on that tonight. We're just going to focus on these three words. Hamakir es makomo, as one of the kinyanei Torah. One of the 48 ways we acquire Torah is being makir es makomo. A person has to know his place, know his makom. What does that mean? What does it mean to know your place? So the Medrash Shmuel, we'll start with the basic commentaries on the Mishnayos. The Medrash Shmuel in the 1500s offers several explanations, more than the ones I'm about to give you. I'm going to give you three of the ones, three that that spoke to me. Number one, Makir es makomo, if you want to acquire Torah, you have to just pause for a second and say, who am I? Know my place. Makir es makomo. I came from Tachas Kisei HaKavod, and so did all of you. Our neshama was taken from beneath HaKadosh Baruch Hu's throne. And when I know who I am in truth, and I don't get lost in my body or the clothing I'm wearing or the place that I'm, the chair I'm sitting in, or how business went this week or didn't go this week, when I'm makir makomo, when I remember who I really am, it becomes much easier to be motivated to strive for greatness in Torah. I am a soul. I am a chelek alokom mimal. I'm a Jew created in the divine image. I'm a child of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When you know who you are, it's one of the most essential ways for a person to be successful in acquiring Torah. Shit Medrash Shmuel gives another pshat. Maybe know your place, and also something to think about. Knowing your place means knowing when to speak and when not to speak. Knowing when you're entitled to an opinion in Torah. Not everyone has equal authority to paskin. I know, you know, there's always the guy in the back of the shul who thinks like he can solve everything with the rabbi. You know, the rabbi always, whatever he says in the drasha, has it wrong, and the guy in the back of the shul always knows better. But makir es makomo, know your place. Know your place. Know when to voice your opinion, and know when to be quiet in front of someone who's older than you and someone who's wiser than you. As someone who just has a better grasp of Torah than you. So that's the second pshat in Makir es makomo. The Medrash Shmuel has a third pshat, which will resonate with us as we get closer and closer, hopefully, to getting back to shul. Makir es makomo means know your place in shul. Have a makom kavua. Be a guy who comes to shul, comes to the base medrash regularly, and everyone knows that's so-and-so's seat, and I'm not going to take it. Don't be the fellow who strolls in late to shul and starts looking around for an open seat because I don't have a seat in shul. Makir es makomo, be koveya makom for yourself. Those are three of about the five or six pshatim that the Medrash Shmuel has. He has other explanations as well. The Teferis Yisrael, on the page of, again, the standard print of the Mishnayos, in the late 1700s, early 1800s, the Teferis Yisrael says, Rav Yisrael Lifshitz, quoted him a lot these last number of weeks, Makris Makomo means be a humble person. Midas Shifluso. Be a person who is shafel. Shal yedeze yiyeh anav. Again, when a person learns Torah, there's tremendous honor that comes with learning Torah. There's tremendous pride that one feels when they learn Torah. And they should. We all should. But don't forget to remain humble. Know your place. No matter how much you know, it's only a drop in the bucket of the infinite ocean of Torah. And therefore, Makiris Makomo, remain humble despite all of your accomplishments in learning. Another pshat I saw this afternoon, printed in the big Mishnayos, in a section on the page called Likutim, I'm not sure who it's from, quotes from different, collects from different Mefarshim, says that Makiris Makomo, it's similar to the first pshat we saw in the Medrash Shmuel, but it's a little bit different. Makiris Makomo means think about where I'm headed. My body is heading back to the dust. Makiris Makoma, where is my neshama? My neshama is heading to Shemayim. So know your place. Where are you going to end up? The real you is going to end up back in Shemayim. It's a little different than the Medrash Shmuel. Medrash Shmuel says, think about where you came from. This comment, again, from the Likutim on the page is saying, know where you're heading to. And if I realize that my body is heading to the dirt, and my neshama is heading to Shemayim, so I'm going to invest much more time working on my soul than I'm going to spend time working on my body. Okay, different pshatim and makris makomo. Left us an unbelievable diary. A journal, I don't know what to call it, his notes on life. How to be a human being. And we're blessed to have it. The P.S.F. Rebbe lost his life, of course, tragically at the hands of the Nazis in Yimach Shemam. But he writes in his journal called Tzav V'Zeros in Os Yud Beis. V'ha makir es makomo. What does makir es makomo mean? Have a osa upoel ba'olam v'hanek lo mituvcha at shetomid mekomcha ba'olam yehei nikar. A person should make his mark on the world. Makir means cause your place to be known. Not because you want to be famous, or you want to be an online influencer, or have a lot of followers on your social media page. Right? Not because you want to have a plaque hanging from the shul or the community center, whatever it is, from your children's school. Makiris Makomo means I want to make a difference in the world. I want to leave my mark on the world. I want my place to be known in the world. Ki ha'im makom ha'avos hanaviyim ushar tzadikim zatzal gam ata lo nikar ba'olam. Because do we not have a sense of who Avram Avinu was? Who Yirmiyahu HaNavi was? Who Moshe Rabbeinu was? These people, we never met them. And yet their place in the world is felt. We can feel. We have a sense of what it must have been like to be in the presence of Avram. A sense of what it must have been like to be in the presence of the Avos and the Nevi'im and the Tzaddikim. Ve'eich haya ha'olam shameim luhaya lo ha'bal shem tov ha'kadosh. Right? How different a world would be, says the P.S. Etzner Rebbe, if there never would have been a Baal Shem Tov. We don't know a lot historically. We don't know a lot about the Baal Shem Tov. I don't know what he ate for breakfast. I don't really know what he looked like. We don't know a lot about the details of the Baal Shem Tov's life, but we feel like we know the Baal Shem Tov. And we feel his presence in the world. And therefore, makir es makomo means ha-makir es makomo, makir ha-chocha, makir la-acherim es makomo. Leave your mark on the world, v'tomin makomo b'ha-olam nira, to such a degree that your place is forever felt in the world, that when you're long gone, people have a sense of, oh yeah, this was the type of Torah that so-and-so liked. Oh, he always liked to say over a pshat from Rav Shimshon or Fal Hirsch. Oh, he always liked to, always had a kli yakar. Oh, he always was involved in this type of chesed. Or, oh, he always heard him singing loudly during nishmas. He loved the tefillah of nishmas. Leave your mark on the world. Know your place means let your mark be felt in the world. These are a few different pshatim and makir smakomo. But my friends, when the Jews stood at Har Sinai, and that's what we have to think about, we're traveling to Har Sinai now. When Klal Yisrael stood at Har Sinai, in the most literal sense, Klal Yisrael were makir es makomam. They knew their place. They knew literally their place by the mountain. What do I mean by that? We know generally there were places, there was a general division of places by the mountain. Moshe Rabbeinu is here, and Aaron is here, and the Zakenim are here, and Klal Yisrael is at the bottom of the mountain. There was a general division of places on Har Sinai. But there was also a very specific assigned place, a seat that a person got, or a place where a person stood by Har Sinai. A very, very precise place that every Jew, man, woman, and child, had at Har Sinai. Let me explain what I mean by that. On the Pasuk in Parshas Yisro, V'chol ha'am ro'am es ha'kolos v'salapidim. Close your eyes for a section and picture the scene. If you fall asleep, I won't hold it against you. The Jews are standing at Har Sinai, and they see the sounds. They see the lightning of Har Sinai. Ves kol hashofar ves ahar ashin. They hear the blast of the shofar, and they see the smoke of the mountain. Vayar ha'am, and they see it. They really see it. Vayanu, and they're trembling from the awesome sights and sounds. Vayamdu merachok, and they stood at a distance. Explains the Arugas Habosam, the Heliga Arugas Habosam, a wondrous thing. And I don't use the word wondrous lightly. It's mamish a wondrous thing what he writes here. In the Arugas Habosam, Rav Moshe Grunwald, the Rav from Chust, Zecher Tzadik Levracha, he writes in Parshas Yisro, he says that when the Jews came to Kabbalah Satorah, Kol Echad Ve'echad Hikir Shoresh Nishmaso, every Jew knew exactly what his connection to Torah was going to be. He felt that Hashem was giving him the Torah in the most personal of ways. Vishoresh nishmaso v'shel chaveiro. And he looked at his buddy standing next to him, his friend, his spouse, his child, his parent. And he could see, this is my mother's chelek in Torah. This is my brother's chelek in Torah. This is my neighbor's chelek in Torah. Every Jew understood his neshama as crystal clear as possible. And every Jew understood be'eza os hu meruma zu mechuvan. We know that every Jew, so to speak, has a letter in the Torah. There are 600,000 letters of Torah. There are 600,000 primary Jewish souls. Every Jew, the Sfarim HaKadoshim tell us, has been assigned a letter. At Har Sinai, every Jew knew his or her letter. They knew exactly the letter in the Sefer Torah that corresponded to their soul. V'kevan shehein hein hayu merkava la'osios haTorah. And because the Jewish people understood that we are the letters of the Torah, hisyatzvu lamata yachtov, the same way that they saw HaKadosh Baruch Hu giving them the letters. What was the pasuk? They looked up at the heavens. Whatever this means, I have no idea. But they saw the letters of Torah. And they saw, hey, that's my letter in Torah. I'm the Beis of Bereishis. I'm the Aleph of Anochi. Anochi Hashem Elokecha. Right? I'm the Yud of the word Yodim. I don't know. Every Jew knew his letter in the Torah. And therefore, Rome as HaKolos, when they saw the letters in Shemayim, you know what they did? It's such an awesome idea. The Jews lined up down below to spell out a human Sefer Torah. Makir es makomo. Every Jew took his or her place at the bottom of the mountain. Vayamdu, vayanu. They saw what was going on in Shemayim. They saw the sounds. And they trembled. Vayamdu merachok. And they took their positions. They lined up at Har Sinai. And what greater chizuk is there for us? And what greater nachas is there for HaKadosh Baruch Hu than when Hashem looks at a human Klal Yisrael? Klal Yisrael has become a human Sefer Torah. Rav Baruch of Mezhbuz explained the pasuk, Vayakil Moshe as kol adas b'nei Yisrael. Moshe Rabbeinu gathers together all of b'nei Yisrael. And he says to them, Vayomer aleihem eila advar mesher tziva Hashem. Explained Rav Baruch of Mezhbuz, the grandson of the Baal Shem Tov. Such an awesome idea in his Sefer Butzina Dinahora and Parshas Vayakel. There are 600,000 letters in the Torah. There are 600,000 Jewish souls. Every Jew corresponds to a letter. V'echlalulusam heim shleimas haTorah. And when all of Klal Yisrael comes together, we become a human Sefer Torah. And therefore, how does Rav Baruch of Mezhbuz read the Pasuk? Vayakel Moshe es kol hadas b'nei Yisrael. Moshe got everyone together. He lined them up. And you know what he said to them? Vayomer aleihem, and he said to them, Eila Dvar Mesher Tziva Hashem. He wasn't giving a speech. He pointed to them. He said, Eila, you, all of you, are the Dvar Mesher Tziva Hashem. You've become a Sefer Torah. Perish Klalus Nafshos Yisrael, Hu Adavar Ba'atma Mesher Tziva Hashem. What more beautiful Sefer Torah is there than the one that Klal Yisrael became? You think Hashem just desires the Sefer Torah that's been sitting all alone by itself in Shul for the last 8 weeks, 9 weeks? We are a Sefer Torah, Klal Yisrael. When we come together, knowing our place, Makir as Makomo means identifying my chelek in Torah, taking my position amongst Klal Yisrael, and becoming a human Sefer Torah. But my friends, now we come to Shu'as Tafshin Pei, Makir as Makomo. And now we have to think about these three words from Parakinyan Torah a little bit differently. Makir as Makomo, coming together to spell out a human Sefer Torah. About 6 weeks ago, believe it or not, about 6 weeks ago was the Yom Tov of Pesach. And before Pesach, everyone was very busy trying to figure out, you know, how are we going to have a Pesach, Tavshin Pei? The loneliest Pesach ever. I had people who were spending Pesach either not with their extended family, some people mamish spending Pesach alone. And we were reading and passing around articles about the time the Lubavitcher Rebbe spent Pesach by himself, and the time that David Beshefkin spent Pesach by himself, and the time that, you know, we're trying to be machazik, we're trying to feel the pain of the loneliness of Pesach Tavshin Pei. And now we're sitting here 6 weeks later. Baruch Hashem, we've made some progress. Some negative, but a lot of positive also. We're getting closer to reopening our shuls and our communities, and the weather's nice, and Baruch Hashem, we're starting to slowly reemerge. But for most of us, the reality is, as close as we are, the pashtus is we're not spending Shavuos night together in shul. And for some people, I spoke to some people this week, they look forward to it more than any other night of the calendar year. It's their best learning. You know, the all-night learning, the all 3 hours of it, whatever it is. But that all-night learning experience, all-night, you know, coffee drinking betzibur, all-night eating cheesecake, whatever it is, whatever the context of your particular community is and shul is, right? But people love that. To get together and to see parents and children and shiurim all night, and it's so geschmack. It's so awesome. And we're preparing now for a lonely Shavuos, and a lonely Shavuos is not any less significant than a lonely Pesach. Really in Sefer Torah. Together. The greatest moment of Achdus, maybe in our collective history, is Vayichan Sham Yisrael Neged Ahar, Ki Ish Echad B'Lev Echad. Was there ever a time more than Shavuos, than Har Sinai, when we stood together? And the Torah in many ways is the portion of Klal Yisrael. It doesn't belong to us as individuals. Torah Tziva Lanu Moshe, Morasha, it's our heritage, Kehilas Yaakov. But the Kehilah is torn apart right now. And therefore, Makiris Makoma, I want to line up. I want to stand with my friend. I want to sit with my chavrusa. I want to get together with my neighbors. I want to be together in shul for Kabbalah Satorah. I want to come to Har Sinai together. And we think about these three words, and they're painful. Makiris Makoma. So where will our place be this year on Shavuos? Where are we going to be? Someone will be sitting by himself at his dining room table or by a shtender, or maybe learning on the couch. I'm a master of that on Friday night, you know, pretending to learn on the couch with a stack of svarim. Right? We know how that usually goes. Where are we going to be? What's it going to look like? Makir's Makoma, where's our place going to be? Without someone poking us, you know, giving us the push, you know, only another hour and 15 minutes to Vasikin. You could probably make it with six more cups of coffee. Well, what's it going to look like? That ki'isha chad b'leiv echad, that coming together, the all-night learning in shul. What kind of Kabbalah Satorah is this? But just like Pesach was an opportunity when we put on the right glasses, we put on the right lens, to be able to see it in the right way, Shavuos this year, we have an opportunity, a unique opportunity, and I hope we don't have it again. But there's something special about the opportunity to have a little bit of a lonelier Shavuos, to be a little bit more isolated for the Yom Tov HaShavuos, to not be able to spend all night in the packed base medrash, wherever we are, together, being inspired together, and learning together, and growing together. We have an opportunity to do something else that happened at Har Sinai. Because there was a very personal and individual aspect to Kabbalah Satorah. There was the Ki'ish Echad B'Lev Echad. There was the Vaya'amdu Ha'am Mirachok, the people standing and lining up, taking our positions. Right? There was that sense of Morasha Kihilas Yaakov that was acquired by Kabbalah Satorah. But let's listen into the first three words that God ever spoke to the Jewish people. Yes, it's a tzibur standing at Har Sinai. But how did Hashem talk to them? Anochi Hashem Elokecha, in the singular. In the Sefer Tamei Minhagim. The Sefer Tamei Minhagim has all the, you know, reasons behind the different Minhagim. So in the very back of the Sefer, in the Kuntres Achron, he quotes from Rav David Deitz Zatzal. Rav David Deitz Zatzal said, "Hatam shenemru yudibros belashon yachid." Why are the Aseres Hadibros? Why are the first words "Anochi Hashem Elokecha" in the singular? Why is Hashem speaking to one person? Why isn't Hashem speaking to the most collective Klal Yisrael? Maybe you could say Yachid means the tzibur, Ki Ish Echad B'Lev Echad. Could be. Rav David Deitz says different pshat. Lahoros to teach us. Sha'al yachshov ha'adam ma ichpas im lo eyem ovdei Hashem. A person might say, there's so many other people learning Torah. What does Hashem need me for? What is my chelek in Torah going to make a difference? I'm not one of the gedolei ador. I'm not even a Talmud Chacham. I'm a Pashut Yid. What difference does it make? My connection, my chelek, my portion in Torah. Halo kama malachim, kama tzaddikim odim asa. There's so many other angels in Shemayim that serve Hashem. There's so many tzaddikim who serve Hashem. Right? My rebbeim are so much greater than me. My chavrusa is so much smarter than me. My own children know more Torah than me. Umalo la'avodasi. So said Rav David Deutsch that cell. So what good is my avoda? Al kein amar kadosh baruch hu. Hashem says, hold on, stop right there. Time out. Yeah, there's a lot of Jews here at Har Sinai, but I'm talking to you. Anochi Hashem elokecha. Perush shetidama benafshecha. I want you to picture in your soul, in your mind, shirak elokecha ani, as if I'm God for one person and it's you. Ve'ein li ovdim zulascha, and there's no one besides you. So as you're sitting at your dining room table, late at night, trying to keep your eyes open, trying to make something out of a shvuas tafshin pei, you're sitting by yourself. You're lucky if maybe, you know, someone else in your house is up. V'chol avoda muteles alecha, Hashem says, I'm putting the whole thing on you. Because I want you to believe that, yes, your chelek in Torah matters. Your personal connection to me matters. Hashem is speaking to each individual at our Sinai. And the question we ask ourselves on Shavuos Tavshin Pei is not what is Hashem saying to us, what is Hashem saying to me? What am I being mekabel this year on Shavuos? Anochi Hashem Elokecha, as if there's no one else in the world who's going to be learning Torah and is going to be receiving Torah and is going to be forging a relationship with the Kodesh Baruch. What's it like to hear the Dvar Hashem? What do you think God's voice sounds like? So we all have pictures, we all have images in our mind. We hear the deep booming voice of Charlton Heston from the Ten Commandments, for those who are old enough to remember the movie. Right? Is that what Hashem actually sounds like? What does Hashem sound like? Does Hashem sound like Morgan Freeman? Does Hashem sound like James Earl Jones? What does Hashem sound like? Does Hashem have a British accent or an Australian accent? What does he sound like? Armando, does he sound like a guy from Venezuela? What does he sound like? Who does Hashem sound like? What was the voice? So I mean, they actually heard Hashem with their ears at Har Sinai. What does God sound like? So there's an amazing medrash in Shemos. The medrash says that when Moshe Rabbeinu, who also heard Hashem speak to him by the sneh, it says, the pasuk says, "Vayomer Anochi Elokei Avicha." How did Hashem introduce Himself to Moshe Rabbeinu? Anochi Elokei Avicha. I am the God of your father, Elokei Avram, Elokei Yitzchak, Elokei Yaakov. Shemos Paragimel. Says the Medrash, HaKadosh Baruch Hu had the following quandary when he was introducing himself to Moshe Rabbeinu. Hashem said, how should I speak to Moshe? What should I sound like? You know, what filter should I use on my voice? Hashem said, if I speak in a voice that is a kol gadol, Moshe is going to be overwhelmed. It's going to scare him. He's going to run away. He's not going to want to have anything to do with me. If I speak in a voice that's too timid, too gentle, a low voice, it's going to undermine the nevuah. So Hashem says, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to speak to Moshe Rabbeinu in a voice that is both welcoming, encouraging, exciting to hear, a voice that Moshe longs to hear, but also a voice that commands a certain respect. And what voice was that? The voice of Moshe Rabbeinu's own father. And that's why Hashem introduces himself, what? Bekolo shel aviv anochi elokei avicha. A voice that on the one hand commands the respect that a father should and can command from a child, but also the loving voice of a father, a comforting voice, an encouraging voice. That was the voice that Moshe heard. It was the voice of his own father when Hashem first spoke to him by the Sneh, Shmos Paragimel. Shmuel Aleph, also Paragimel. Shmuel is training under Eli HaKohen. He's working in Shiloh. And one afternoon, Shmuel is resting, and all of a sudden, Vayikra Hashem el Shmuel, Hashem calls out to Shmuel. And Shmuel, like Moshe Rabbeinu, says, Hineni, here I am. He comes running. He comes running to Eli and he says, Eli, you called me? I didn't call you. Oh, I thought I heard you call me. Shmuel goes back to rest. All of a sudden he hears again, Shmuel, Shmuel. He comes running to Eli. Eli, you called me, right? I didn't call you. You playing a practical joke on me? I heard you call me. I didn't call you. It happens a third time. He says, okay, if it happens again, if you hear someone calling you, say Hineni and prepare yourself to hear the Dvar Hashem. Why did Shmuel think Eli was calling him? I don't have a medrash to prove this, like I do by the previous medrash, that Moshe heard the voice of his own father by the Sneh, but I would guess, I would posit, based on that medrash, that probably when Hashem called to Shmuel, he called in the familiar voice of his Rebbe, Eli. And that's why Shmuel jumped up and came running Eli to his Rebbe, Eli, at Kohen, and he said, Rebbe, you called me? I didn't call you. So Hashem speaks in a voice, when He wants to communicate with us, Hashem speaks in a familiar voice. So my friends, I ask you, what was the voice of HaKadosh Baruch Hu at Har Sinai when he spoke to every single one of us, Anochi Hashem Elokecha, in the singular? Corey, you remember this vart from your son's bar mitzvahs? At the Richmond bar mitzvah, I shared this vart. It's part of my blessing to Sam and Ben, so I'll renew it. It's a couple of years, we'll renew the vart. What was the voice that Hashem used at Har Sinai? You know what it was? Rav Tzadok HaKohen of Lublin says such an awesome thing. Rav Tzadok HaKohen of Lublin passed away in the year 1900. Rav Tzadok says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu spoke to every single one of us at Har Sinai in our own voice. That's such a wild idea. You heard HaKadosh Baruch Hu in your own voice. That was the voice you heard at Har Sinai. It was the most familiar voice in the world. It was your own voice. It was your own neshama. Because as I once heard it explained by Rabbi David Aaron from Yerushalayim, Yer HaKodesh, from the old city, from Maraita, Rabbi Aaron explained that, and it's based again on Rav Tzadok and other tzaddikim, earlier tzaddikim, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu at Har Sinai wasn't speaking to us, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu was speaking through us. Hashem was speaking through us as if to say, our relationship, I'm one with you. Our relationship with you is unique to you. Like the Gemara says, no two people have the same voice. Our voice, our own voice. Anochi Hashem Elokecha. I am your singular, personal God. That's how I want to have a relationship with you. But again, as we hear these words, and they're beautiful words, we think about Tav Shin Pei, Shavuos Tav Shin Pei, and there's a part of us that doesn't believe it. Maybe a Jew who left Mitzrayim and stood at Har Sinai, maybe to such a Jew, Hashem says, Anochi Hashem Elokecha, you, personally you, I want you, I choose you. But I want to share with you something that I was thinking about this week, and I want to try to prove it to you. I think that those three words were not spoken primarily to the Jews who stood at Har Sinai. I think primarily those three words, Anochi Hashem Elokecha, was spoken to us. Us Jews right here, right now, before the coming of Mashiach, the end of time. And I'll tell you what my proof is. It's going to take me a couple of minutes, not too many minutes, because I know we only have a couple of minutes left. It's going to take me a couple of minutes to make this point. But try to follow it clearly. It's very kedai, I think. I hope. Anochi Hashem Elokecha. Hashem was speaking to us. The Vilna Gaon says that there are 50 times in the Torah, Shoval, I apologize for the Chazar. There's 50 times in the Torah that HaKadosh Baruch Hu talks about Yetzias Mitzrayim. And the Vilna Gaon writes in the Sefer Aderes Eliyahu, the reason that Hashem speaks about it 50 times is because we know there are 50 levels of Tumah. The Jewish people, when we got out of Mitzrayim, we had sunken down to the 49th level of Tumah and we got out of there at the last minute. And the Vilna Gaon explains that every time the Torah mentions Yetzias Mitzrayim, it actually pulls us out of one level of impurity. It gets us a little bit farther out of Mitzrayim. Each time we read about it in the Chumash, it pulls us out of Mitzrayim. 50 mentions of Yetzias Mitzrayim corresponding to the 50 levels. But my friends, here's the question. The question is, we were only on 49 levels of Tumah and Mitzrayim. The Vilna Gaon says, which mention in the Torah corresponds to the 50th level? Meaning, which place where the Torah references Yetzias Mitzrayim is referring, is pulling us out of the deepest Tumah, the darkest of places. The Vilna Gaon says, it's this pasuk that begins the Aseres HaDibros. Anochi Hashem Elokecha, asher hotzei sicha me'eretz Mitzrayim mi'beis avadim. So the question is, when the Jews stood at Har Sinai and they heard Hashem say, I am Hashem your God who took you out of Mitzrayim. And the Vilna Gaon says, that is the pasuk that pulled you out of level 50. Nu es the kasha. The question is, but in Mitzrayim we weren't on level 50. We were only on level 49. But the Orach Chaim HaKadosh writes in Shmos Parag Gimel that before Mashiach comes, we're actually going to fall to level 50. There's a level of disbelief in God where we have so many questions on Hashem. After so many years of galus, and again, I'm not excusing ourselves, but that's just the reality. We have so many questions in our emunah. We have so many doubts. We have so many nisyonos. We have so many confrontations with the Yetzer Hara that the Orach Chaim HaKadosh says that before Mashiach comes, we're going to fall to level 50. And therefore, if you put the pieces together, that means that when Hashem said Anochi Hashem Elokecha at Kabbalas HaTorah, He wasn't talking to the Jews who left Mitzrayim. They were only on level 49. He was looking to the future and speaking to people who are going to fall to level 50, which in some way, says the Orach Chaim HaKadosh, is us, Jews before Mashiach's arrival. And yes, Jews who are sunk into the 50th level of impurity in a world that sometimes is so meshugana, and I'm talking in a spiritual sense, not just what's happening physically in the world right now. Hashem says to those Jews, to us Jews, level 50 Jews, Hashem says to us, Anochi Hashem Elokecha. I'm speaking to you personally. And I'm talking to you in your voice. And I'm inviting you personally. Yes, it's Ki'isha Chad B'Lev Echad. It's this Gevaldik Tzibur at Har Sinai. And we wish we could have a Tzibur for Shavuos. But we're not. We're by ourselves for Shavuos. For the most part, we're not there. Most communities are not there yet. They're not ready to have minyanim. They're not ready to have all-night learning in a pact-based medrash. But Hashem says, that's okay, because this is the ultimate Shavuos. Anochi Hashem Elokecha was spoken to us, to Jews who are on level 50, who are still trying to find their way out of Mitzrayim. Jews who question their very worthiness of receiving the Torah, and Hashem says, no, I pick you more than anyone to be Makabel the Torah. Rav Naftali of Rapshit said that he lost 3 verbal encounters in his lifetime. 3 conversations where he felt he was outsmarted, he was outwitted. And the Rapshitzer was a pretty smart Rebbe. He was a pretty witty person. He knew how to run with the best of them. But the Heilige Rapshitzer said three times I had an encounter, a verbal debate, a conversation, where I felt that my opponent, in quotes, outsmarted me. The first one was with his son. As a young boy, Reb Lazer Jikover. Reb Eliezer one time did something and his father was very upset about it. I don't know exactly what he did. And Reb Naftali Rapshitzer said to his son, "No, how do you act that way?" He said, "Tati, it's not my fault. The Yetzirah seduced me. The Yetzirah convinced me." So the Rapshitzer said, "That's no excuse. You could have fought back. You didn't have to listen to your Yetzirah." So his little son said to him, "But Tati, the Yetzirah has an advantage over me. You see, I have a Yetzirah, but the Yetzirah doesn't have a Yetzirah." So he said, "Okay, you're right. I understand. That's fair." And he let him off. He said, "It's okay, I understand. Good. Checkmate, you win. Yetzirah doesn't have a Yetzirah influencing him not to obey God. And I do. Okay." The Rapshitzer was masking that his son beat him in that conversation. The second time the Rapshitzer said he lost to someone was to a little girl. He said one time he was traveling, came to a village, and as he entered the village, it was a tiny little village, there were basically 10 Jews in the whole place, barely a minion, 10 Jews, he said, and he noticed in the village that there was a shul. Okay, shul for a minion makes sense, but he said he also noticed that there was a local cemetery. So he stopped this little girl on the street, he said, "This place doesn't make sense." He said, "Why, what's wrong? What do you have against my village?" He said, "I noticed you have exactly a minion of people here. So either your shul doesn't make sense or your cemetery doesn't make sense. Why? Because if you're going to have 10 men, right? So then you don't need to bury anyone in the cemetery. So then you have a shul, you don't need a cemetery. But if someone dies and you need the cemetery, then you don't need the shul because you don't have a minion anymore and everyone's going to be davening at home b'yachidus." So the girl said, no, we need the shul and we need the cemetery. We need the shul for our minyan because everyone here, Baruch Hashem, is healthy and fine. And we need the cemetery in case the guest comes to town and he dies in our town and we need to bury him. The Rosh Hashanah said, "Okay, I'm out of here." The Rosh Hashanah said, "I don't want to mess with this little girl." He wanted to receive the klal of the little girl. He ran out of town. That was the second verbal encounter that the Rosh Hashanah lost. The third verbal encounter the Rosh Hashanah said that he lost was that one time it was Simchas Torah. And he said there was a coachman, a simple, simple Pashur Yid, who was dancing wildly on Simchas Torah. And the Rapshitzer was a mystic person, a sharp person. And he went over to this fellow and he said, "Mechilas Kodcha, I don't get it. What are you dancing about? You hardly learn Torah. You hardly keep mitzvos. What are you so excited about on Simchas Torah? What are you dancing? What are you celebrating on Simchas Torah?" So the fellow looked at the Rapshitzer and he said, "Rebbe, if my brother makes a simcha, I dance. My brother's marrying off his son. My brother's making a bar mitzvah for his son. It's not my son. It's not my child. But it's my relative, so I'm dancing." He said, "Someone here in the shul, one of my relatives, is making a simcha. The Talmidei Chachamim here are celebrating a year's worth of accomplishments in Torah are celebrating. They invited me to the simcha. What, I'm not going to dance at my relative's simcha?" And the Rapshitzer said, "You're right. Taki, you should dance. This is your day to celebrate also." Shavuos maybe, even more so than Simchas Torah, is our day to celebrate. Every Jew is being invited. And the proof, again, are the first 3 words of God Himself at Har Sinai. Anochi Hashem Elokecha. I'm inviting you personally, Hashem says. I'm inviting you to Kabbalah Satorah. I want you to know this day is for you. And again, Hashem said it to us. And Hashem said it to lonely Jews. Not only at Tzibur that's spelling out a human Sefer Torah like that beautiful image that Arugah Sabosan painted for us. So I'll leave you with one final story. The Imre Yemis one year by Shavuos after having his tish, went out. He had behind, if you know where the Imam Amos is buried, behind the Gerish Dibel over there, the little courtyard. So the Imam Amos went out to this little courtyard, this little garden, to just like, you know, like catch his breath. Rebbes work very hard on the holidays. It's a hard work on the Yom Tov. So he went out just to have a little Yeshiva Das, a little quiet, you know. He had been on, he was fearing Tish, a big gathering, a big to-do. The Rebbe needed a couple minutes of quiet. So he goes out to the courtyard. And it happens to be that these little Hasidish kids, who see that the Rebbe's out back, right, with the Gabbai, and there's like this little wall or fence in between, you know, where these kids are playing and where the Rebbe is. So these kids climb up on the fence, they're jumping up on the fence, and they're trying to catch a glimpse of the Imre Amos. And they're fooling around up there, they're pushing each other on the fence, and they're having a good time on top of this little wall, this little fence. And the Gabbai starts shushing them and saying, Shah, leave it quiet. The Rebbe needs to rest a little bit. The Rebbe's been working so hard to inspire the Tzibur al Shuas. Leave the Rebbe alone for a couple of minutes. Let him have a little peace and quiet. And the Imre Amos looks at the Gabbai and he says, don't tell these children to be quiet. They're having a good time. They're celebrating on Shavuos. You think that our Kabbalah Satorah is more than these children? Hashem gave the Torah to these children as much as He gave the Torah to us. Kabbalah Satorah of Shavuos is for every single person, man, woman, and child, from young to old, to people who learn a ton of Torah all year round, to the Jew who's going to be falling asleep at his table over a cup of coffee this Leil Shavuos. So Amir Tzah Hashem, let's make sure we put on the right pair of glasses this Shavuos. Let's make sure we have the right perspective. Would we love to be together for Shavuos? Ki ish echad b'lev echad. That's what Har Sinai was about. Morasha kilas Yaakov. Of course we would. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu, just like He gave us a different Pesach this year, is giving us a different Shavuos. Makir es makomo. Know your place. Makir es makomo this year means to know your place. My place sometimes is with a big tzibur, and that's a great form of Kabbalah Satorah. But sometimes my place is just sitting over a sefer, just me and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, renewing those vows, so to speak, by that chuppah of Kabbalah Satorah. Let's not be depressed about it. Let's not be down about it. Let's realize that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is looking to see every one of us on Shavuos, wherever we are, wherever that mako might be. But to be makir es makomo. And like we saw in the words of the Pia Zetzin Rebbe, to allow it to make a roshim, to makir es makomo. Let's leave a mark on the world, tafshin pei. A Kabbalah Satorah like never before. Maybe the most personal, individualized, and unique and memorable Kabbalah Satorah of our entire lives. I wish you all a good Shabbos, Mir Tzashem, a good Yontov up ahead, and don't forget to Dav Marv. And thank you so much for learning with me tonight.
Great to see you tomorrow.
Hallelujah.